You know, it's good to be in a church that knows the Word. And we can hear it even in the worship that this church knows the Word. I'd just like to introduce my wife. My wife is the Executive Director of Kenneth Hagin Ministries of Canada. So she oversees not just RMAI, but anything that Kenneth Hagin Ministries is doing in Canada. And she's going to share a little bit about that and whatever's on your heart, honey.
Man, it's good to be here this morning. And I can see that you're a church just sitting on the edge and ready to be stirred up even more than you already are. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let me just share a little bit about what Adrian and I are involved in. Back in 1991, I believe it was, the Lord dropped in our heart that we would go coast to coast in the Holy Ghost. And I know to some that might sound a little corny, but God is faithful to His Word. Amen? And Adrian just leaned over to me and he reminded me that this week we're on the west side. Next week we're going to be in Myrtle Beach with our family. So we're going to be going coast to coast.
Again.
Amen. Again. Last year we did it, and God's faithful. We've been able to go across Canada. It started last April. We started with meetings with our alumni. We have over 200 alumni graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is where your pastors have also graduated from. And being the directors, the national directors for RMAI, which is Rhema Ministerial Association International, we have the opportunity to meet with our alumni. And so we started out in the East Coast, and we made our way over to the West Coast. And that was last year in 1 month. And we've been going back and forth ever since. So God is just faithful. And I'm going to tell you that just because in 1991 we didn't know how it was going to happen. So if God's put a vision in your heart, and if He's dropped a seed for a dream, and you've been hanging on to it, and you're thinking, when, Lord, when's it going to come to pass? Hold on to it. Like Mary did, ponder those things in your heart. But keep yourself stirred up, too, because God is faithful to His Word. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And we've seen that area of come to pass in our own lives. Adrian, if you get to know him a little bit, if you get to talk to him a little bit later on, you'll hear that the nickname that he has with our motorcycle club of Boomer is true. Okay? He resonates with the Word of God. And he's not afraid to tell it. He's a president in Ontario, Toronto. We lived actually north of Toronto, Ontario. And in Canada. And when y'all say A.
He started with A this morning. That's because we were here.
A. That's good. He's the president of Jerry Savelle Ministries International, has a Chariots of Light Motorcycle Club, and Adrian's the Ontario president of that chapter. So we get to do a lot of motorcycle evangelism with that, and his nickname is Boomer. He's been told that he's got the fire of God in him and on him. He gets very excited and stirred up about things of God, and you'll get to hear that this morning. So if you're expecting this morning, you're going to get something. You'll walk out of here with whatever you came here for this morning. I believe that you'll receive it if you just stay on that edge, just waiting to hear what the Lord has to speak to you, to your heart. Amen. Let me just share a little bit what's happening with Kenneth Hagin Ministries in Canada. We're very excited about it. Actually, we had graduated from Rhema in 1998. We had gone down to Tulsa, Oklahoma with our four children. Couldn't take our pets, but God provided a home for them as well. And we went with our four children. We graduated in 1998, and we came back to Canada, and we got back into the same old, and just continued doing what we knew to do. We have to do something. You know, if you want God, you want God's direction in your life, you've got to do something. Okay? God can't steer a ship that's just tied up to the dock. Okay? So you got to get yourself out on the water. Amen? So get yourself out on the water. If you're looking for God's direction and you don't feel like you're getting it right now, then get involved in your church. Yep. And I'm not saying that you're not, but, you know, if you're looking for direction, then put your hand to something.
Amen.
Amen. We came back and we started just doing what we knew to do, and we had to provide for our family. So I ended up going back to my previous employer. And in 2003, I was approached to see if I would be interested in working with Kenneth Hagin Ministries in Canada. So in 2003, we began a work that had already been established for over 25 years in Canada. And right now, we have over 11,000 homes that receive the Word of Faith magazine in Canada. We are reaching a broadcast with Rhema Praise, the television broadcast of how many million?
6 million.
6 million homes. I'm not sure how many viewers that is, but 6 million homes across Canada. And we're really excited about that because that's something that we've not tapped into before to that extent. And the reason we're here right now is because we were in Edmonton with the Christian Booksellers Association, and that's a big market for us in Canada, just as it is here in the U.S. So we were there getting the Faith Library Publications product into the Christian marketplace. And we're so excited about what God is doing in Canada and how He's enabling us, He's equipping us to do the things that He's called us to do. It's not just about who Adrian and Irene are. It's not about Kenneth Hagin Ministries. It's not about Faith Library Publications. It's about the body of Christ coming together and getting the word into the lives of thousands and millions of people who do not yet know Him, to bring them into a relationship with their Heavenly Father. They don't even know that they have a Heavenly Father, and we're there to tell them about it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But we want to see truth and righteousness prevail. We want to see that come into our land as well as in yours. And we feel as much at home here as we do in Canada. So we're just really glad to be with you this morning. I encourage you to stay stirred up. Get your expectors on. Open up your hearts. Be ready to receive. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Irene mentioned the word of faith. The word of faith goes into almost, 450,000 homes, I think, worldwide. What we have been doing through the U.S., you know, in conjunction working with the U.S. office, we've been putting a Canadian face on it twice a year. And this is actually our parliament. It'd be like, you know, our equivalent to your White House on the cover. The motto actually inscribed in stone over the window of our peace tower in our nation's capital is, "He shall have dominion from sea to sea." That's inscribed in stone because that was in the hearts of the forefathers of the nation of Canada. And so for July, you know, you have your July 4th. We have Canada Day on July 1st. We put a Canadian face on it. And instead of us, our Thanksgiving issue comes out in October instead of November, because for us as Canadians, our harvest season is October more than November. We'd be under snow then. So anyway, there's just one or two if somebody wants to browse. We'll leave a few of them with Pastor Jan. Irene didn't mention how we got to meet Pastor Jan. We got to meet Pastor Jan actually in Edmonton last April as we were going across Canada. And we were hosting an RMAI fellowship in, and for those of you that don't know, Pastor Jan is a district director with RMAI here in the United States. Okay? I think he looks after Oregon, Washington, Alaska, and he was looking after Western Canada as well. And that's why we ended up meeting him. We just felt it was honorable to have him there because of how he served in that capacity before Irene and I came on the scene. And we just got to know him a little bit then, and our hearts connected very, very quickly. We met again. You know, we would always meet at some of the special meetings at Rhema. And then we met again in April. We had a director's meeting in Dallas this past April. And that's when Pastor Jan said, "If you ever get to Western Canada again, give us a call and we'll have you come." So that's what brought us here. And we are delighted to be here. Irene mentioned others have said that I'm a carrier of the fire of God. The passion of my heart is that the church comes alive. And let's just pray, and then we're going to go into the Word, and I'll just share my heart with you this morning. Father, we come to you this morning with thanksgiving. Lord, you're such an awesome God, and even as we've sung this morning, that great plan of substitution that you had for us, where Jesus, you took our sin that we might have your righteousness. And that allows us to come boldly into your throne this morning, Father, with no sense of guilt or shame or condemnation. But Father, to come and say, "Lord God, we love you, and it's our desire to see your plans and your purposes fulfilled in our lives and on the earth." And Father, we take our place to do that. Father, we commit this service to you. Father, I just pray that everything that I would speak this morning would be of your heart. Father, that would make a difference in the lives of these precious people, Lord God, bringing them up from glory to glory into a new level in you, Father, as the return of Jesus is so close. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the when we started going across Canada last year, and what Irene said is true. In 1991, we were sitting in a service, and the speaker used the phrase "coast to coast" in the Holy Ghost, and the way it The way it came into my spirit, it's almost like it came out of his mouth, shot across the auditorium, went into my mouth, and the way I describe it is like you would put a coin in a vending machine, in a Coke machine. It just went doom, 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 and clunk, and it lodged. And it never, ever left. And when it didn't look like anything was happening, that still never went away. So last April, we started on the east coast of Canada, just to show God how faithful we saw Him, I put my foot in the Atlantic Ocean, my one foot, on the March 31st. On April 17th of the same, 18 days later, I put my foot in the Pacific Ocean, the other foot, just to say, God, You're faithful to Your word. So what He put, the dreams and visions He put in you might not happen a week after next Friday. But stay with it, because they will happen. God's not mixed up. Amen? So I want to open our Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verse 7. Then we're going to go to verse 8. But I want to just talk a little bit for a second about times and seasons. So the disciples, verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me." We know we read about that in the book of John, chapter 14, chapter 16. It says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority." What the disciples were asking is, when would Jesus make His kingdom on the earth? And the word times here is the word chronos. Okay? It means a quantity of time. So what He's saying, it's not for us to know quantities of time which the Father put in His hand. Okay? There's another Greek word for time, and it deals with appointed seasons. It deals with specific times. So when Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem, in the heart and mind of God, there was a kairos, which is the other Greek word for time, an appointed time. Okay? So God does want us as the church to know about appointed times. Times of visitation. Okay? Length of time, not necessarily. But appointed times. When He's about to do things in the earth, He wants you and I to know about it. Amen? That's one of the reasons He gave the Old Testament prophets the word that He had for the nation, was so His people would know what the plan and the heart of God was in their day. Okay? We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says, it talks about the mysteries. It says there those mysteries aren't hidden from us, they're hidden for us. In other words, God wants to reveal them to you. And how does He do that? Predominantly when we get down and we pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen? He's the teacher. He starts revealing stuff to us. So when I was sitting in that service and the Lord said you'd go coast to coast in the Holy Ghost, that was a revelation by the Holy Ghost for something that God would have in our life. But the times and seasons of when that would come to pass was in His hands. Right. Amen? Right. We couldn't make it happen. No matter what I tried to do, there's no way we could have made happen the things that God's allowing Irene and I to do today. So stay faithful with what He's planted in your heart. Stay faithful with the dreams and the vision that He's given you. I want to share just a little bit about, in the last 3 weeks, we have been privileged because of the place we stand in with Kenneth Hagin Ministries to meet three of our federal members of parliament. Okay? Our members of parliament would be the same as your senators, elected senators. Two weeks ago today, in a Sunday morning service in our nation's capital in Ottawa, the ambassador of Malaysia was introduced to us. So the High Commissioner of Malaysia to Canada, and we presented him with a copy of the Canadian edition of the Word of Faith, and he was familiar with the ministry. And what's so cool is Malaysia is 98% Muslim. The High Commissioner sent to Canada is born again, spirit-filled. And he gave me his two business cards. He gave me his official High Commissioner of Malaysia card. And he gave me a ministry card where he goes and he preaches all over Canada on his days off. Now, how cool is that?
Amen?
And it struck me that the fax number on the ministry card was the same as the fax number on the embassy's card. So God's at work. You know, even some of these members of parliament, they were one of them at least, was familiar with the ministry. And God's raising up. You know, it's no longer that the church is doing one thing, the business world is doing another, and government's all here out by itself. We're living in a day where God's starting to bring it all together. Amen? Because he's got a plan. His son, the return of Jesus Christ, is soon. And we've got a job to do. We shared with Pastor Jan on Friday night. We went out for dinner with him. And I said, what breaks my heart is that there's a lost and a dying world out there. But if we as the church, and I don't just mean our camp, I mean the church universal. If we as the church were to present to the world the true character and nature of the Father and God that we serve, anybody in his right mind wouldn't do anything but serve him. And the reason they're not serving him is because we haven't presented him how he really is. Amen? And it's time that we start to do that. It's time that we start to let that love. You know, Jesus, the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, I think it was, that Jesus saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion on them because they were as sheep having no shepherd. You know, so often we will have sympathy in our hearts for something. We'll see people in distress. We'll see people in need and we'll have sympathy. You know what? Sympathy just feels bad and doesn't do a thing about it. What compassion does is it does what it can to make a difference. You and I are equipped of God to do what we can to make a difference in whatever field we find ourselves. Some of it, you know, we don't need to be going around looking for places to preach, looking for places to minister. If you're in the church, if you put your hand to something, the Bible calls you the ministry of helps. You've been given a ministry in whatever capacity you find yourself to serve. You know, what's a minister? It's just, you know, really, when you think, it's a steward, it's a servant. It's like a waiter. We're here to serve. We're here to serve that are without in the world. Amen? And when we start to do, that's what Jesus' whole life was about. Everything he did to serve mankind. If they needed healing, he healed them. If they needed finances, he brought finances. Right? Peter needed taxes. What did he say? Peter, go to the fish. Get your taxes and mine.
Yep.
It's a good way to pay your taxes.
Amen?
Amen? You know, even I couldn't help about, you know, just even the little exhortation before the offering this morning. You know, how we think about it makes all the difference.
Amen.
Irene has a testimony. When God called us to go to Raymond in 1996, we didn't have the money in the bank. And as a Canadian, going to Oklahoma, you're not allowed to work. The U.S. government, you know, they won't give us green cards and we weren't going to come across as illegal aliens. Right? So we had to prove to the U.S. government before we ever crossed that we had the finances to support ourselves while we were here. Well, we didn't have a dime when God told us to do it. We thought we'd end up selling our house. We had three real estate agents through and the Spirit of God said, no, this isn't the way you're supposed to do it. We were leaning to the hand of flesh. That was our crutch. That was our way. Hey, God, you can use our house. And he said, no, that's not how I want to do it. And we had a message and the man said about being faithful with little. If we're faithful with little, God will bring more. And a part of what he said is he said, how many of us don't walk over a penny on the sidewalk and because it's only a penny, we despise it. And he said, what if God's counting that where you got to be faithful with the little first? And that dropped into her heart like a cement block. And she walked out of that meeting and she found this trail of change. 28 cents, I think it was. That was a Saturday after a Ministry of Helps breakfast. And Sunday morning, she came into the service and she took the offering envelope and she filled it out. She put her name on it. You know how humbling it is to put an offering envelope in where the counters and whoever else sees it? Hey, the winnings, they only put 28 cents in this week. That's what you think is going to happen, right? She put her name on it and she said, this is for our Rhema education. seed for our Rhema education. About a week later, she stops at an outdoor fruit market on a windy day in May. And it's blowing and blowing, and she steps out, and there's a $1 U.S. bill all folded up, sitting right by her foot. Should have blown away. Now God's bringing back the seed. The harvest is coming back in American dollars, and we were believing for American dollars. She took that $1 bill. This is no word of a lie. I mean, the documents are in the church record somewhere. She took that $1 bill, and she put it in an envelope. And again, she put her name on it and got real specific. She wrote a little note to the pastor, knowing he would see it, what it was for and why it was there. And the long and the short of it is in 90 days, God brought in $27,000 for us to go to Rhema. And we're convinced if she didn't start with the instruction that she got from the Holy Ghost, it would have never happened. And we had to change the way we were thinking. We had to line it up with how God was thinking. Amen? And this is where we're at, church. We got to be so tuned in to what God is doing in our day and in our hour. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the fire of God, about revival. That should get you excited. And if it doesn't, then I'm in the right place. I hear him laughing. Did you hear during the announcements when they said his wife was leaving for a weekend, how excited he got? I caught that. I don't know if anybody else did. Anyway, let's go to Acts 1, verse 8. What did it say in verse 7, or in verse 5? It says, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know what, folks? Why did the Holy Ghost come? We would receive power to be what? Witnesses. We talked with Pastor Jan. He told me about a book that T.L. Osborne had wrote about the difference between revival and evangelism. And I didn't know that book had been written. And I've been preaching this for over a year, almost a year and a half now. Revival is not for the world. We have this funny idea that God, you know, by the Holy Ghost, woo, 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 some spooky kind of woo, woo, he's coming in, and all of a sudden everything's different. You know what? That's not how it is. Revival is for the church. It's only for those that have made Jesus Lord and Savior. You had to be born again, made alive, before you can be revived. The world needs to get saved. Amen? They can't possibly be revived until they've been saved. And hopefully they don't get so cold that they need to be revived. Amen? So what did he do? He said we would receive power after that the Holy Ghost came on us to be witnesses. And it starts at home. It goes to our state. It goes to our nation. It goes to the world. Amen? Irene and I are so excited about, you know, just even this television contact that we've got in Canada, where not only is the Canadian signal touching Canada, it's now being beamed across the border back into the U.S. And 2 weeks ago, I got a call out of India, where they said India, the major cities, the majority of the population in the major cities understand English. That if they were to watch a TV show that was in English, they would get the gist of what was said. But they said the communities just outside the cities, the local villages, there's so many dialects that they wouldn't understand English. And then what they were asking was permission to close caption Rhema Praise into the dialects of all these individual little nations. And that's coming out of Canada. We offered the Believer's Authority on a TV program last November, and we got orders for it out of Luxembourg because they were watching it there. God's doing stuff we don't even know He's doing. Amen? Amen? And that's awesome. Go with me. We can go either to Matthew chapter 3 or Luke chapter 3. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to talk about where Jesus said John baptized with water. So let's look at that a minute. John chapter 3 verse 1. In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John was a preacher of repentance. Okay? When we read this, who was John speaking to? He was speaking to a covenant people. He was speaking to a nation that should have known Jehovah God as their God. Amen? He wasn't speaking to the world. He was speaking to a covenant people. And he said, repent. Go down to verse 11. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Acts 1:8, we saw that the Holy Spirit come on us, the power to be witnesses. But here it says he'll baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Verse 12, it says, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, I know some would say, and I think there is a place here, where this burning of the chaff with unquenchable fire means if you get too far away from God, maybe you're in trouble. Here, I don't need them. But I think what I see in this, and a part of that is because of I know how God's worked in my own life. I think some of the chaff that gets burned off our lives when the Holy Ghost comes on us in that way and with the fire, it's the things that Hebrews 12 calls weights and sins. Amen? It's things that, you know, it's like having diving weights tied around our ankles, and it's real hard for us to run the race that's set before us. And when the Holy Ghost comes on us, when we allow Him to be who He wants to be in our life, when we allow the Word of God to have first place the way the Word of God needs to have first place in our life, so many of those things that would bind us up just fall away. They're burned off our life, and we're free to run. Amen? I smoked cigarettes a pack and a half a day from the age I was 14. I grew up in a Christian home. I don't even remember the day I got saved because Jesus was always real. Both Tyrene and I, we had godly homes. But the denomination we grew up in, smoking was a totally acceptable thing. Nobody thought, not. We'd walk out of the back door of the church, shake the pastor's hand, light our cigarettes. He'd light his with us. We didn't know it was something wrong with it. And then I went through a time where I rededicated my life at 17, and I knew that that was one of the things that had to go. And I tried and I tried and I tried. So much so that I would even try to hide it from my wife. We had a wood stove. In Canada, we have wood stoves. Actually, we smelt lots of wood stoves around here yesterday, too. But trying to hide it from her, I would almost stick myself right in that stove so that other wood smoke would get all over me and she wouldn't know I'd been smoking again. We were laughing with Pastor Jan the other night about, you know, how they went out somewhere, and he talked about how they were all going to quit. They went hiking. And all of a sudden, the second day, one guy disappears. We had busted into a bunch of cars to get the butts that were left in the ashtrays. It's amazing how desperate you can get. I told them how I dumped my cigarettes. You know, I had a 5-ton truck. So you got the outer aluminum skin, you got the inner plywood wall, and there's a little tie-down rail where the plywood stops. And I threw a pack of cigarettes in there because I wanted to quit. 2 days later, I took a sledgehammer and I knocked a hole in the bottom to get my cigarettes out. But I'm here to tell you, when the Holy Ghost came on Irene in my life, the night we got baptized as believers, I mean dunked as believers in water, we came up baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the urge to have a cigarette was gone. I never went through withdrawal. And I'm not saying that that always works for everybody. I'm just saying God came on me and some stuff fell off. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah. And He'll do the same for you, but we've got to make Him number one. You know, it's part of this seeking first the kingdom of God. I think so. It's so easy for us to get away from being that passionate for God. I was driving a truck all over the city of Toronto at that time, and I would pretty well do a loop. City of Toronto right now is probably, what, 7 million? And it was horrendous driving. I mean, we were just always in stop and go. And I would get so upset if I couldn't make our Bible studies, if I couldn't make what was going on in the church because I got tied up in traffic. Because I had such a hunger for what God was doing. And I so wanted to learn. And I think that's where we need to get to. You know, there's places in all our lives. You got to remember what it was like when you were first born again. You got to remember what it was like when you were first baptized in the Holy Ghost. When I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, I immediately had a revelation of the believer's authority without even being taught it. I just knew the devil was under my feet, that there was stuff he could no longer do in our life. And God's wanting so much for us as a church to get back to that. To say, you're number one, Lord. Whatever it takes, I'll follow after you. You know, revival is just getting passionate for God again. That's really all it is. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. I'll tell you how this came. When Irene and I started going across Canada last year, the first service I was going to do was on the East Coast in a city there. And we were in a Best Western hotel, and that night the Lord spoke to me over and over again. And when I say He spoke to me, I would just get a little phrase. And I would write it down on a notepad, and I'd fall back to sleep, and I'd get woken up again, and I'd get another phrase, and I'd write it down. And that happened all night long, and when I woke up in the morning, I looked at what I had wrote, looked up where God had said, go to look, and that's what we've been preaching on for a year and a half. And one of the first things he said is, he said, stop saying revival is coming. It's here now. He said, for so long my church has been looking for what's just around the next corner, but we never get to the corner. Amen? And he said, stop saying it's coming. It's here now, because faith is now. Amen? And then he said, one of the things he said, go look at Elijah at Mount Carmel. So that's what I was on my note. That's what I did. Let's look here in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And it says, and Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. The people wouldn't make a decision. And I'm here to tell you this morning that revival in the heart of a believer is no more than a decision. It's not some woo-woo of the Holy Ghost. It's a decision in each and every believer to say, God, I'm making you number one again. I'm putting you first place in all that I say and think and do. And that's what Elijah's looking for from these people. But it says, but they answered him not a word. Go to verse 24. And I encourage you to read these chapters through, okay? We can't go there because of time, but read them through. Verse 24 says then, talking about, you know, the priest of Baal, he says, then you call in the name of your gods, and I'll call in the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it's well spoken. If you read on, the 50 prophets of Baal do their thing, they run around, act like a bunch of idiots, cut themselves, make a lot of noise. Verse 29 says, and when the midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Even God didn't pay attention. Amen? Sometimes that's what happened. We're running around making a lot of noise. And even God's not paying attention because our hearts aren't to it. Our hearts aren't with it. Amen? There's a lot of false things going on around us. Every day, all you have to do is turn the TV on for an hour at night and you'll see it. But you know what? There's no God paying attention. Then it goes on here in verse 22. Talks about what Elijah did. He said, and then with stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord and made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two seahs of seed. And they put wood on it and things like that. They filled four water pots with water, verse 33. And they poured it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And Elijah said, do it a second time. And then he says, do it a third time in verse 34. And it says, water ran all around the altar. Now let's go to verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. That's significant. Okay, what was Elijah doing? Elijah was drawing on his covenant. Elijah was drawing on the covenant that God had made with Abraham, the father of Israel. Amen? Putting him in remembrance of who he was in relationship to his people. And it goes on here and it says, let it be known this day that you are a God in, that you are God in Israel, and I'm your servant, and that I've done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. What's repentance? What's revival? It's making a change. It's making a turn. Okay, the simplest definition of repentance is I'm going this way, and I go, no, that's the wrong way. I'm going this way. And we make a direction change. Okay? I'm doing one thing, I'm quickened by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, that it's not the right way, and I make a decision to make a change. Amen? And that's what we see here. It says, verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. It says, and it consumed the burnt sacrifices, the wood, and the dust, and it licked the water that was in the trench. Verse 39, now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. In verse 21, they wouldn't answer a word. Was it Baal? Was it God? They wouldn't make a decision. Amen? Now in verse 39, they're saying, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Why is that? Because the fire fell. Because God revealed Himself. He remembered His covenant. And there was a change in their hearts. Amen? And there was revival in the camp. I'm not going to go there for time, but just look at verse 41. It says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. What does it say in James chapter 5? What's he waiting for? The early and the latter rain. Why? That he may receive the precious fruit of the earth. Amen? Revival will precede an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Okay? What we're waiting for when we say wispy, you know, this woo, God's coming in, that doesn't happen until the church is revived. Then God comes in His power and His might and His majesty on every believer, and we start influencing and affecting the world. We have testimonies of camps in Canada. I can't see that clock. But we have testimonies of northern communities in Canada where the Spirit of God will move in after the church has made their heart right with Him. So much so that by the end of the week, the National, the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, have nothing to do. Because all the bars have shut. All the drunks have quit drinking. But that's not because God moves in, you know, woo-woo. No, it's first because the hearts of the believers are turned right. He comes on them, they go into their community, and just like it says in Acts 17, they turn it upside down. They change the natural order of how a city flows, how a town flows. And that's what God's looking for. I want to end with this. This is also what the Lord talked to me about that same night in that hotel room. Go with me to Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. Just give me 5 minutes, please. I need to get a drink here a minute. Verse 23. It says, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. You know, that was under the old covenant. Hebrews tells us we live under a new and better covenant with better promises. Both of these instances we're looking at were under that old covenant. How much more will He do it for you and I today? Amen? But He heard the cry of His people. When we cry out with a heart of passion, when we cry out from the depths of our very being, without the pretense, without the, I'm going through the motions and it makes it look like I'm okay. When we cry out from the very core of our being, God will come. Sometimes people wonder why He doesn't answer. He does answer when it's from a heart heart that just so wants Him and His plans. Amen? And that's what happened here with Israel. Go over to verse 25. It says, "And God looked upon the children of Israel, and He acknowledged them." Then it says here, verse 1, chapter 3, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro his father, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back side of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." You know what? Here's a guy that God supernaturally rescues from a river in a cradle, in a basket of reeds, comes into the king's home to be taught. You know, he had the best of the best. God supernaturally has it that his mother gets to look after him. He screws up because he doesn't know the times and seasons that God has in plans, and he kills a man. And now he runs for the next 40 years thinking he's made a mess of his life. How many of you have been there? "God, I screwed up so bad, I'm not sure You could ever use me again. God, all I want to do now is just let me stay saved. That'll be enough." You know what? That's not the God we serve. The God we serve, we just say, "Sorry, Lord, I messed up. I missed it. And I want to be right back on track." And you know what? He's got a way to make it happen. And I believe that's where we are today, when we reach out to Him that way, because we don't have time to play at this anymore. He wants each and every one of us in our place. Because you'll influence people in your circle that some of us will never be able to touch. Amen? The Bible says in Jeremiah, there's appointed weeks of harvest. He wants us ready for that appointment. He doesn't want us late. Amen? So here it says, so Moses is on the backside of the desert. He really messed up. It says, "And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." Lord said to me that night, He said, "So many of My people have had a burning bush experience." God supernaturally will speak to us. Might be a word of prophecy, might be something, you know, a situation. We're in a place, we get a book, and there's just something in that book that just speaks to our life and to our heart. He says, "So many of My people have had a burning bush experience where supernaturally they'll get direction and wisdom from God." But He said, "I want My people to be the burning bush." What was the burning bush? It says, "He looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." He wants you so on fire for Him, so passionate for Him, so letting the Holy Ghost and fire flow through you, that people will come and watch you burn. Your neighbors will wonder why all the blessings of God are on your house and on your household. And they'll say, "What's with this?" And you'll say, "We serve a good God. We serve a God that loves and cares for you. A God that's not mad at you." Amen? And they'll start asking of the hope that's within us. The Bible talks of that. We're supposed to be living a life where they come to us and ask us of the hope that's within us. Amen? The hardest thing about evangelism is what breaks the ice. Well, have God show up. That'll break the ice. Amen? So look what happens here. It says, "Then Moses," verse 3, "Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight." What did we say repentance was? Going one way, turning aside. Moses made a direction change. Amen? And he went to the bush. He says, "Why? And I'll see why the bush does not burn." Verse 4. "So when the Lord saw that he turned aside, when the Lord saw there was repentance, when he turned aside to look, God called to him from the bush, from the midst of the bush, and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" When some of those people that see you so on fire for God, so passionate for God, turn to watch you burn, you're going to have their life plan. The Spirit of God through you will speak out their life plan and set them on the right path. Do you believe that? This is what it's all about. This is where we're at today. Amen? And let's go on here, just one more verse. Verse 6, it says, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father." He's remembering that covenant again. "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The glory of God was on him. The glory of God is on you and me. Amen. I share a story. When I was a young boy growing up, my grandfather had a dairy farm. And didn't matter what my grandfather was doing. Back then, it was a lot more manual than it is today. They had combines, but I remember, you know, when we brought in the grain, it went into the back of a pickup truck, and then you had to shovel it into the grain bin. If he was doing hay, or if he was milking his cows, just whatever it was that he was doing, if somewhere on the horizon he saw a plume of smoke, he would jump in his truck, and if we as grandsons happened to be around, he would say, "Come on, boys, let's go, a fire." And he'd drive 20, 30 miles to go watch a fire. So I know that people will go and look at a fire. When you go camping, and it gets dark, and there's a circle around the fire, what is everybody doing? They're just looking into the fire. So people will watch a fire. So get on fire. Amen? Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about living in this last day and how we're to live lives that are full of purity and holiness. And he talks about how God is waiting. He's so longing that all would come to know. And I don't remember the scripture. 2 Peter 3, I can't remember the exact verse. But it's talking about God wanting that harvest, wanting all those that will respond to respond. And then it says that as we live those lives that are holy, that we actually hasten the day of the Lord, hasten that day. I believe you and I can make a difference on how long it takes for Jesus to return by getting in our place and doing what we need to do. Amen? And I do want to minister to you. I do want to give an altar call. But I think I'm going to do it after. I think I'm going to just... So if you folks, just keep your heart on this. You know, and I desire, Irene and I desire to minister some things to you. But there's going to be some that need to leave, so we'll deal with this first.
Amen. Thank you, brother. It's a good word. Ushers, come. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you ask the Lord what He wants you to give. And as Pastor said, if it's a small number, that's of the devil. Give the bigger one.
Amen.
We just want God to meet their need through us. If you need an envelope, raise your hand. If you want to make it out to the church, then it'll go through and we'll make you out one check from the church. Hallelujah. Hopefully next year. See how many are on fire by then.
That's right.
See, we like him to come back, but I'd rather see you on fire than see him come back.
Yeah, there you go.
Amen. I can tell from this couple that they're not interested in being seen. They're interested in Christ in you. Because that's what counts. That's what lasts.
That's it.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for our brother and his wife that was here today and what they brought to us. Lord Jesus, help us to remember what has been shared and taught this morning, that we do get on fire for you. And the only place we can do that is get so close to you that the fire in you catches in us. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of giving here. We ask your blessing upon this offering, that it meet their need in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll turn it back to him in just a minute as soon as the offering is done.
John, you got 3 pennies?
3 pennies? I got 28 cents if you want it, brother. You can have it. Absolutely. That was a good testimony. It's a good testimony of how we offer, how in the simple things of how we obey God. A lot of times we miss those things because we think, oh, well, that's just our flesh. He's surprised what God will do for the penny, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? He multiplied then into $27,000. I like God's multiplication, don't you? Yeah. We wouldn't have thought to go that far.
No.
But God does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why do you think God wants us to think His way? He thinks bigger than you do.
That's it.
It's much better for us to go God's way. Hallelujah. Well, brother, come on back up here and minister what God has
Hallelujah.
For you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll do that after. Praise you, Lord.
Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 11, he says, I long to be with you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, some spiritual thing. And little did we know when God said we would go coast to coast, the Holy Ghost, that this would be one. I had no idea that this is what the Lord would lay in our heart to minister. And yet in our ministry brochure, and there's some in the back there, we're sitting in Rhema Bible Church, 1998, and praying. You know, you spend 2 years in school, you know God's got something for you when you go out. We spend a lot of time in prayer school every day. We pray for all kinds of things, but sometimes you're just praying about, God, what do you want me to do? Where's my place? And we're sitting in a Sunday morning service in 1998, and the Spirit of the Lord said to Irene, He said, your ministry name, the name of your ministry is Cross Country Ministries. And He said, out of Luke 1, verse 17, there's a phrase on it that we've just taken out. It's referring to the work of John the Baptist as the angel speaking to Zechariah. And the phrase that we took out of that, under the direction of the Holy Ghost, was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And it's only been in the last several months that it's really been coming back, where because John the Baptist was a preacher of repentance, and we use the examples of Elijah's life, how that's so fitting for what God's called us to minister. It's all about getting us ready for that next return of Jesus. John was the forerunner for His birth. You know, we as the church are the forerunners of His soon coming return. Amen? And there's a people out there that need to get made ready. And we all have a place. So when I say that, you know, we long to be with you to impart something to you, I am a carrier of the fire of God. There's been awesome men of God, just can hear it in us, and they've said it to us. And I believe that's one of the things that I can impart. It'll be, the way I see it, it's like a booster cable to your battery. And it just kind of jump starts you. And if you've been feeling like you're not where you want to be, then we would count it a privilege this morning to minister to you. I just want to lay a little bit of groundwork of why I say some of the things I say. Irene and I, when God dealt with us, I shared about the smoking, getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Very quickly, we came into a church and served as administrators. Her for 5 years, I for four. It was a Word of Faith church, a Rhema church. But as a result of a church split, we both ended up resigning our positions. We stayed loyal to the founding pastors, and we ended up resigning our positions. We were right in the middle of building a new home, and all of a sudden you're both unemployed. And I came out of there saying, if this is ministry, I want nothing to do with it. That's the truth. And for 4 or 5 years, 4 years, I was one of the most miserable people on the face of the earth. I went back to what I knew to do. The Bible talks about a dog going back to his vomit. I mean, not that I was doing was vomit, but when it's not God, that's what it's like.
Right. Yep. Right on.
And I went back to what I knew to do as far as, you know, providing for myself, and I was miserable. My faith didn't work because I had no confidence to God, because I knew I wasn't in the will of God. You know what? That's where faith works first, right? You have to know the will of God. I knew I was out of His will, so how could it work? Nothing was going right. And one Sunday morning, we were visiting a church, and I got called forward. And the Spirit of the Lord, sternly, but with love. And I was so cold at that point that if you think about a school kid getting corrected, how they say, you know, they'd stand in the corner. And the kid would say, I'm standing on the outside, but I'm sitting on the inside. This is the Spirit of God talking to me, and I didn't do this, but this was my internal posture. Okay, God, what do you got to say? That's how cold I was. And what God said is, he said, and it was direct, it was stern, but it was with love. He said, you've let the vision in your heart die to where it's just a burning ember. Remember the vision, I would go coast to coast and the Holy Ghost was there before this. He said, you've let that vision die to where it's just a burning ember. But like the mythical bird, the phoenix, by my Spirit I'll blow on those embers, and they'll come ablaze and burn brighter than they've ever burned. A year and a half later, we were in Rhema. And God is God. So I know that He can take a whole cold heart and can fire it up. If you've faced disappointment, if you've faced things in your life where it's just like a wet blanket on your soul, a wet blanket on the plans of God for you, maybe we've got complacent. This is the morning where you can make the decision to have it turned around. And when we minister to you, let that be the point of contact where you say, from this day on, it's different. Amen? From this moment on, it's different. And you watch God change it. Amen? But first we have to take that step. I kind of see it like it's a time of making a consecration. But it's a consecration that's cemented. Okay? Not something we do today and forget we did next week. You look back to this morning when the pressure's on and you say, no, God, I'm not being moved. I'm not getting pushed out of that. Because that day I said, you're number one. And if that's you, then come on up and I'll minister. Okay? If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, when we get to you, let me know that. Because that's where it starts. Amen. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost in fire. We have an anointing on our life. We have very, very good success with that. If that's you, when I get to you, say, I need the Holy Ghost. And we'll minister that as well. Okay? And if you're not saved, you're still welcome to come. Tell me you need to be born again first. And we'll minister that first, then the Holy Ghost, and then the rest. Yep. Actually, you won't need the rest because you don't need revival. You need salvation. Amen? So I don't know how you want to do it here. Come on up, folks. Have we got somebody that can just sing? Is that? I don't want to keep you. That's not, you know, we're not doing this. But I also don't want to leave until God does what He wants done. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.